It's a Wednesday edition of Locked On Warriors. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat writer for the Mercury News. Make sure to follow Locked On Warriors on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, or wherever you get podcasts for episodes every day, Monday through Friday. It's time to start taking the Warriors' chances of pulling off a first-round upset seriously, and I'll tell you why. But first, today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy? At only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. Stay tuned for the Ultra Player of the Week coming up later in the episode.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I've got a stat that shows Juan Toscano-Anderson's value better than anything else that I want to get to later on. First, 24 hours after beating the league-leading Utah Jazz, a tired Steph Curry did not erupt for another 30-point game Tuesday, and Golden State fell behind by as many as 16 points before rallying to beat the Phoenix Suns 122-116 at Chase Center. That this was not a game the Warriors would have won earlier in the season. Steve Kerr said it, Draymond Green said it. But with a week to go until the playoffs, Golden State is peaking at the right time. For so much of this season, it has been Steph Curry shouldering the load on offense. But on Tuesday, in his first game in more than 2 weeks in which he failed to score 30 or more points, it was his teammates who stepped up. The Suns' 6-rated defense bottled up Steph, who scored 21 points on 7-for-22 shooting and went just 1-for-11 from three-point range for most of the night. They overcommitted, helped defenders to get the ball out of his hands. Steph, consistently as he has all season, faced double and triple teams, but playing on that second night of a back-to-back just didn't have what it took to get over Phoenix's long-limb defense, and it required the help of his teammates to get this win. Jordan Poole hit a go-ahead three-pointer with 1 minute and 43 seconds left in the game. Andrew Wiggins scored on a mid-range jumper on the next time down. He finished with 38 points. And Golden State outscored Phoenix 30-18 down the stretch to make it two wins in as many nights against the top two teams in the Western Conference. Each game came down to the wire as the Warriors recovered after giving up an 18-point lead against the Jazz on Monday and then beat the Suns after trailing by double digits for most of the second quarter on Tuesday. The Suns got 34 points from Devin Booker. They got 24 from Chris Paul, who was awesome. And they shot 43% overall from three-point range, including Jay Crowder, who made his first five attempts from beyond the arc in the first half. And the Warriors at the start of the season may have toppled after those hits. After all, they have 11 losses by 20 points or more this season, including a 30-point loss to Dallas and a 53-point shellacking against Toronto last month. But this two-game set has shown growth. The Warriors have found success with Kevon Looney starting at center in place of rookie James Wiseman, who is out for the rest of the season with a knee injury. Jordan Poole has combined for 50 points over his last three games, and Juan Toscano-Anderson is filling up the box score in increased minutes, and Kent Bazemore is giving them a hard-nosed defensive presence to pair with Wiggins on the wing. Bazemore, by the way, 19 points Monday, 17 points on Tuesday. Golden State has now won 12 of its last 17 games, and the win locks the Warriors into finishing in either 8th or 9th place, and they maintain a half-game edge over Memphis for that favorable number 8 seed in the play-in tournament that would require one win to advance to the playoffs versus two as the number 9 seed would need. Looking at the standings, like I said, Golden State is a half game up over Memphis for the 8th spot. They are 2.5 game backs of the Lakers in that 7th spot, and we are increasingly looking at a scenario where the Lakers and the Warriors are playing in this 7-8 matchup. In fact, that is the most likely scenario for what is going to happen because the Lakers are still a full game back of Dallas, who have been playing well as of late. They've won 7 of the last 10 games. Portland has gotten things going together. They've won 4 straight, and it doesn't look like they're going to fall into the play-in tournament. The Lakers, meanwhile, have been without LeBron James. They were without LeBron Tuesday night against the Knicks. Anthony Davis is kind of up and down a little bit since returning from injury, and that rest of the roster is just full of role players, and you can't rely on role players every single night. The Warriors will wrap up their regular season schedule with games Friday against the Pelicans and Sunday against the Grizzlies. All of these games have a playoff quality to them. and the Warriors have responded by playing their best basketball of the season. Going back to Andrew Wiggins, here are his averages in 8 games since that blowout loss to the Mavericks. 23.4 points on 52% shooting, 37.5% from 3-point range, 4.8 rebounds, 2.5 assists, and 1.1 blocks per game. If he's playing like that in the playoffs, it completely changes the makeup of this group. And that's what makes him the Michelob Ultra Player of the Week. In sports, if you think joy only happens when you win, think again. Look at the world's most successful athletes. They don't spend all their days grinding away. They take care. They take the time to enjoy themselves, like having a Michelob Ultra with friends, because they know that happiness is the key to winning, and not just the end game, but the whole game. And Andrew Wiggins, look, he's got that mellow attitude. He's kind of relaxed out there. He never gets too high, never gets too low. Just kind of always has that vibe that maybe he's like kind of chilling with a Michelob Ultra in his hand. That's joy. Michelob Ultra, 2.6 carbs and 95 calories in my refrigerator right now. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Juan Toscano-Anderson continued to impress in last night's win. Here's what Steve Kerr had to say about him, specifically on defense, after the game.
And then I think adding Juan to the mix has changed us dramatically. Juan's energy, his ability to pressure the ball, to guard every position, including the five, he's given us the versatility that we've needed.
Juan Toscano-Anderson might be the biggest development, the biggest revelation of the season for the Warriors. And it's because of the things that Steve was talking about on defense, his ability to guard all five positions. But he's also very Draymond Green-esque on offense too, right? Because you see him dictating the game, not so much reacting to the game. He's a great playmaker at that point forward position. He thrives in those 4-on-3 situations and getting the ball to Steph Curry and all of these things. He understands what this Warriors team needs on both sides of the floor. And the stat that I teased earlier in the show, this comes from Zach Lowe's column, where he does the annual Luke Walton All-Stars, which are basically a list of the best sort of role players in the NBA. And Juan Toscano-Anderson made his list, and he pulled out this stat that the Warriors with Draymond Green, Steph Curry, and Juan Toscano-Anderson on the floor are outscoring opponents by 12 points per 100 possessions. Now, that's a really great trio. It's probably the Warriors' best trio. Maybe Kevon Looney is in there, too, with Green and Steph. But that shows the value that Juan Toscano-Anderson has. And what's so interesting with him is that that three-point shot, he's shooting over 40% from three-point range, hit a couple of really clutch ones in that win against Phoenix late. And because he could space the floor, you could play him with Draymond Green. And that's been the biggest development in Juan Toscano-Anderson's own game, because had that three-point shot not come around, playing him and Draymond on the floor at the same time would be tough. But because Juan Toscano-Anderson can hit those threes, specifically from the corner where he really thrives, it allows them to play Juan Toscano-Anderson and Draymond Green simultaneously. And lineups that have both of them with Draymond Green at center and Juan Toscano-Anderson as a playmaking forward and Steph Curry on the floor, I'm getting a lot of Andre Iguodala vibes from Juan Toscano-Anderson, right? And you hate to go so far as to bring up Iguodala's name, but that's the kind of player, that's the prototype that the Warriors are looking for, and it's what they need going forward. And so I think it's pretty clear, and you can hear it by the way Steve Kerr talks about Juan Toscano-Anderson, by the way he plays Juan Toscano-Anderson, by the fact that Juan often is the guy closing games in five-man groups with, like I said, Draymond at center and him as a playmaking forward. He has a spot in the rotation in the future, and he has more than already proven himself. Now, granted, playing well in the playoffs will be important if the Warriors make it into a playoff series. That will go a long way in judging what he can do for a team that wants to try to win a title next year. But I'm already there, man. I'm already telling you, this guy is a legit NBA player. He has something that you just can't teach as far as basketball feel and basketball IQ. He's got underrated length. That three-point shot has come around. It's still a small sample size. I don't think he's even hit 100 threes, even attempted 100 threes yet this season, but the shot looks good. He's confident from the corners, and that's all you really need. You don't need him to be Clay or Steph out there. You just need him to earn the respect of the defense, and he's doing that, right? And he's making those open shots. And as long as he is doing that, then I think the Warriors might have their closing five for next year if it's Steph, Clay, Andrew Wiggins, Juan Toscano Anderson, and Draymond Green. And that's why he might be filling that Andre Iguodala type role. The Warriors still need to figure out some other things on the fringe of the roster. Probably need another add another six type man, another backup point guard, ball handler type, maybe another scorer, 3-point shooter off the bench. But Juan Toscano Anderson this season has more than I think proven that he deserves to be part of the top seven or eight guys in the rotation next year. Okay? And again, you can hear it from the way that Steve Kerr is talking about him. It's showing up now in the stats. And this dude is just a legitimate NBA player. And he's starting to get national recognition from the guys like Zach Lowe and other things. And I think that's what's going to make him so impactful, is not just the ability to come off the bench. And it's something I wrote about the other day for the Mercury News. What he is trying to do off that bench with that bench unit with Jordan Poole and Michael Mulder right now, they are trying to mimic the success that Steph and Draymond have in that two-man game, where you have the playmaking 6'6" forward getting it out to scoring guards like Jordan Poole and Michael Mulder, guards who can also space the floor quite a bit. They're trying to mimic that, and so Juan Toscano Anderson has become sort of the anchor of the second unit, that playmaker that they have so desperately desperately needed for so much of the season. But he's also able to translate that into that starting group, right? It's so difficult to sort of run an offense in a second unit, and they'd be more of a complementary piece as part of that starting group. But he's figured out that balance, right? Like, he is the anchor of a bench that has been stronger for the Warriors as of late, and he's able to positively impact and actually make things easier for Steph and Draymond in a way that's very noticeable and important. Coming up, three reasons why the Warriors could pull off a first-round upset. But first, let's talk about Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. But unlike most protein bars, it actually tastes good, and it's good for you. Built Bar is great for health-conscious men and women, whether you want to maintain or lose weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Built Bar is a low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, great if you're on a keto or other low-carb diet. And they have 9 different flavors available now, and always creating and releasing new, exciting flavors. Built Bar has been with us for a long time, and I've been eating Built Bars for a long time, usually in the late afternoon between lunch and dinner. It's a good way to give me the boost I need to finish up my workday. And like I said, Built Bar has been friends of the show for almost a year now, and we appreciate the partnership that we've built. So support the show by supporting those who support us. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off on your next order. Again, use the promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Let's also talk about BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. The NBA is making the playoff push, and the NHL season and Major League Baseball are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all of the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So I don't know if I'm all the way to the point of thinking that the Warriors can pull off a first-round upset, but if they do, it will be because of three trends that have emerged over the last month or so of the season. First of all, they just beat the two teams that they would play in a potential first-round series. So they either play Utah or Phoenix if they end up getting into the playoffs. And they just beat both those teams. Now, granted, Utah was without Mike Conley and Donovan Mitchell. Phoenix, I don't know what's going on with them. No major injuries. They were without Cam Johnson, but that's not that big of a deal. But they were playing at Chase Center. The Warriors were playing well. Phoenix has lost two straight now, so they might be in a little bit of a slump. But you know, you don't want to take credit away from Golden State because they earned that win against Utah. They outplayed Phoenix for 48 minutes, and those were two of the best teams in the NBA, not just the Western Conference. So not only do they have the confidence going into one of those series, right? These three trends have emerged, and these are the numbers that I'm looking at. Now, again, I am not all the way at the point of saying that I think that the Warriors can pull off the first-round upset. There's still some questions that I have with that supporting cast. I don't know if those guys are going to be able to show up in a playoff setting the way that they need the Warriors need them to show up for a seven-game series. I'm sure that they can win a game or two, but to predict a full to win four games against one of the two best teams in the league, I'm not quite there yet. But these are some trends that have me at least feeling a little bit better about those chances. The first one is, since James Wiseman's injury on April 10th, the Warriors are first in net rating by a mile, outscoring opponents by 9.1 points per 100 possessions. That's an insane number, and we're seeing it over a pretty substantial sample size, and it's because Kevon Looney is entrenched as the starting center, and they have shored up the rotation here. They have smoothed out lineups to the point where they don't have any glaring weaknesses. There's not a point where other teams can attack, and that's reflected in their number one defensive rating over that time of 106.4. That's a great defensive rating. The Warriors, again, top in the league in defensive rating over that stretch. And they're ninth in offensive rating, which has been such a hard, such a problem area for the Warriors all season. They've ranked in the bottom 10 of the league for most of the season in offense, but they are ninth in offense rating, scoring 115.5 points per 100 possessions, and they're first in true shooting percentage. Now, a lot of that is driven by Steph Curry, but you're getting better contributions from Andrew Wiggins, like we talked about earlier. Draymond Green is scoring more often. Everybody, like Kemp Bazemore, Jordan Poole, Juan Toscano-Anderson, these guys are efficiently contributing for the most part, and Michael Mulder has been a nice floor spacer for them off the bench. You have less Kelly Oubre, right, who's, you know, he could score in bunches, but inefficiently, right? You're not having to force feed James Wiseman anymore. And so for this reason, the Warriors are just, they operate more smoothly, and there's no real glaring weaknesses on the roster. I think obviously that there are nights where Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins and Kent Bazemore aren't giving you that stuff, right? Like Kent Bazemore to score 19 points and then 17 points on back-to-back nights, you can't rely on him to do that, but what he's done defensively has been pretty consistent. So that's the first thing. That reflects that the Warriors are one of the best teams in the league since Wiseman went down. Then there's the starting lineup, which of Steph Curry, Kent Bazemore, right, in place of Kelly Oubre, Andrew Wiggins, Draymond Green, and Kevon Looney. That starting lineup is outscoring teams by 7.6 points per 100 possessions in 192 minutes over 14 games. That's one of the best heavily used lineups in the entire NBA. It's behind Portland. The Clippers have a great starting lineup, but that lineup has been consistently together, consistently getting off to good starts, and consistently closing games well when that group is the group that Steve Kerr chooses to close games with. So the starting lineup, which was a problem for most of the season, is no longer a problem and reflects one of the better units in the league. And in the playoffs, you tend to play your starters more, right? And so you could expect that number to be even better. You can expect the Warriors to lean on that starting lineup even more come playoff time and not have to rely so much on a bench. And that kind of goes to the third reason why I think the Warriors might have an opportunity, and the third way in which the Warriors can force an upset. If you give Steph Curry is averaging about 32 minutes per game. In the playoffs, he tends to get closer to 36, 37, 38 minutes per game. So if you can increase his minutes by 4 to 6 minutes per game, right, you're cutting down on that downtime in the second and fourth quarters. Maybe instead of coming in the six-minute mark in the fourth quarter, he comes in at the eight-minute mark. Maybe instead of coming in at the six-minute mark in the second quarter, he comes in at the eight-minute mark. You are doing if you do that, you're taking away those minutes that I've talked about before where you were just counting down the seconds until Steph Curry comes back into the game. It's not been as glaring with the contributions of Jordan Poole and Juan Toscano-Anderson and Michael Mulder, but the Warriors still very much go with how Steph Curry goes. If you give him 4 to 6 minutes more per game, over that stretch since April 10th, the Warriors are outscoring teams by 7.7 points per game with Steph Curry on the floor. If you kind of take that by the minute, that's about a quarter of a point per minute that the Warriors are outscoring teams when Steph is on the floor. So you take that, engineer it, and kind of add 4 to 6 more 4 to 6 more minutes per game. Now you're talking about the Warriors, instead of outscoring teams by 7.7 points, outscoring teams by 8.5 to 9 points per game with Steph Curry on the floor. That's a significant advantage with Steph on the floor. And you can kind of extrapolate that for Draymond Green, Kevon Looney, Andrew Wiggins, all these other guys in that starting lineup that has been so effective for the Warriors. So again, I'm not saying that the Warriors are going to upset Utah or Phoenix in the first round, but they have the confidence after beating those two teams, and those are the trends, those are the ways, the three ways that the Warriors could accomplish an upset in the first round. Not quite ready to say they'll do it, but I'm not so dismissive of the idea as I was once before. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, and say nice things about the show. You can send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg or email them to me at wgoldberg@bayareanewsgroup.com. Now get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Thanks for listening.